Well, you know what that means. We're going to help you keep it running thanks to the help we get from ASE certified technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Good morning, Dan. Good to hear from you again.
Good morning, Denny. It's good to hear from you too, sir.
Another hot day, I would imagine. It's going to be moderating this coming week, so maybe you won't be getting, you and your crew at Lloyd's, too many AC questions, but you may have a few calls today. I know you're open today, but if you have, as a listener, any question about your car, truck, van, if you have some issues and you need to take it into your favorite shop or your favorite dealer, but you want to know what the heck is going on with it, what possibly could this problem be, call Dan right now or send a text, same number, 651-989-9226 for your phone calls or text messages. This is our CCO Radio Car Care Show. And we appreciate all the help we get from Dan and have had that help for it's almost countless years. We figured 25 years or so. We'll leave it at that. But what kind of a week has it been at Lloyd's this week, Dan?
Well, you know, I was surprised to see, Denny, that or to hear that there are an awful lot of kids that are venturing back to college, an awful lot of college campuses around the country and around the region are going to be open, and kids are starting to ready to get their cars ready to go to take that trip, and I think that's a great idea to have the car checked out before you send your kids across the country in them for a couple of reasons. One is you know your mechanic, you know your shop, and if you're going to have work done, you would just as soon have it done at home. And the other reason is you want them to be safe on the road, sure. You know, when they're traveling. And if when they get to their college town, sometimes it's a challenge to find help getting your car fixed. So our advice is always get it done before they leave. Be sure the car is safe and ready to go, and, you know, give them a chance that they're going to get there safely.
Yeah, for sure. And along those lines, that I know you and your crew at Lloyd's check out cars, like if maybe a parent or grandparent want to help their child or grandchild get a vehicle, new or used, and they, especially used vehicle, you want to get it checked out. What do your folks, you and your folks do at Lloyd's? What kind of a checklist do you go through if somebody wants to have you guys check out a possible used car? What do you do there?
Well, you know, Denny, it's we call it just that, used vehicle inspection. And it's a full page of, safety and maintenance items that we go through and be sure that the car is, ready to go, what the condition is. We prefer to see the car before they purchase it. It's nice to see it first, so that we can give them some advice on, you know, maybe some estimates on work that needs to be done, and that gives them some tools to negotiate the price with. But either way, before or after, it brings the car up to first class shape and lets you know what you're looking forward to if you do choose to purchase this car. And from time to time, we find a car that is just a really bad idea, and we'll share that with people too. Like, nope, you should go find a different one. This isn't the one for you. And we do share that also from time to time.
Well, that's good. It's good news. It helps everybody. 651-989-9226 is our phone number, our text number as well, and we're getting both as we speak, Dan. Let's go to the phones. First up here, I think, is Rod, is calling in from Richfield. Rod, you are on with Dan Burns.
Real good. Thank you. Say, I got a question about burning 91 octane, a vehicle that calls for 91 octane fuel. It's a V6 Mercedes hybrid van, and the company that I work for wants to put 87 octane in there. They will not resell the van. They'll keep until they die. And I'm wondering, what are the repercussions of burning 87 octane in a vehicle that calls for 91? Thank you.
Yeah. No, I don't think that's a very good idea. The engineers that designed the vehicle, that designed the engine, are looking for that 91 octane. It does not have anything to do with the fact that they want you to spend more money on gasoline. I don't think they're in cahoots with the oil companies, but for some reason they want the 91 octane. They want the higher octane. And what octane is a resistance to knock, which happens in pre-detonation. And, you know, depending upon the compression and things like that, for some reason, the Mercedes wants that higher octane. And I think that you probably should be using that. So I guess I would share that with the company. But beyond that, there's not much you can do. They're paying for the fuel and it's their vehicle. So I guess they can do whatever they want to do. Now, that being said, that's my advice. I know an awful lot of people that have vehicles like that, that ask for premium fuel. And, you know, sometimes they'll blend it. Sometimes they'll use a mid-grade, something like that, to save on the cost a little bit. But pretty much, Denny, as you know, when it comes to a vehicle and maintenance and recommendations from the manufacturer, I'm kind of all about that. They designed them, they built them, and I think right. I know what they are. They know what they need and want to make their vehicles work to their the best they can.
Well, you've said it often over the years, and I guess I was guilty over the years as well, as you get the manual when you get the car, usually, and you don't read it. And it's amazing how much information is in there, and you always recommend that, and I agree with you. Tell you what,
One more thing, Jenny, about octane that I've mentioned before, and it's true, is that a higher octane, a 91 octane versus an 87 octane, the higher octane does not have any more energy in it. So it doesn't, you know, there's, other than the fact that the engine will perform differently, the actual fuel does not give it any energy, which won't give it better mileage or anything like that. Now, the design of the vehicle will, on the higher octane, but the energy level in the fuel is the same.
So if you have a vehicle that the manufacturer calls for regular unleaded, and you think, hey, I'm going to make this a little faster, and putting in a higher octane, you won't see any difference.
Nope, that's true. And in mind, you might.
That's right.
But I think in reality, it does not make a difference.
All right, we need to take a break. We alert our callers. Stay on the line. We're going to come back real fast and pick up on text messages as well. 651-989-9226 this Saturday morning, our car care show on News Talk 830 WCCO. And good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive, who is located where exactly in St. Paul, Dan?
Well, we are at 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul, right between Lexington and Victoria on Grand Avenue. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net. Or give a call this morning. Big Nick will be there at 651-281-3116.
I'm going to be doing that very thing if I can make an appointment this coming week for an oil change. What do you think of that? You guys fit me in?
I think that's a great idea. You should come on over. I miss you. I haven't seen you for a while, face to face.
Well, I tell you what, and the vehicle misses you too. It's been months, so we'll take care of that. Well, good. We'll give you guys a call, of course. And you can call Dan now or send a text, like a lot of folks are doing. 651-989-9226. That's the same for the text number as well. I'll tell you what. Let's grab a phone call or two, and then we'll grab a bunch of text messages. I think Dick is next up here, calling from South St. Paul with a question. Dick, you're on with Dan Burns.
Good morning. When you come in for an oil change, just a regular oil change, what goes along with the oil change in the other services?
Well, I mean, with the inspection that we do along with an oil change includes starting on the top of the vehicle, open the hood. We check all of the other fluids and filters, the air filter and so forth. And then we fill, you know, the window solvent, the fluids and all that sort of stuff. We'll reset the maintenance light. We'll check the lights and the wipers. And then we raise the vehicle up and, of course, drain the oil and filter. And while that's all draining, we'll check the suspension and steering components. We'll take a look at the brakes, if you can see them, without removing the wheels, and the exhaust and the axles and bushings and all that sort of stuff. So we just pretty much give it a maintenance inspection along the way, and then fill it back up with all the proper fluids and oils, and send you on your way.
Yeah. Checking those tires as well, you said. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, all right. Right.
Thanks, Dick, for the call. Here's a text that I find interesting. Texter says they have a 2009 Lincoln Navigator, but it's not an engine problem. The texter says, my iPhone no longer talks to the Bluetooth in the vehicle only. Phone works everywhere else.
But it only works.
Have you ever had an issue like that? But not in the car.
So the phone only works through the Bluetooth.
Well, it no longer talks to the Bluetooth in the car, but it works everywhere else outside of the car.
Oh, okay. There's a connection. They're tricky. I don't know if you've ever tried to do that, Denny, but they're tricky to get to get the phone and the car paired properly. And usually when people, and yes, I do come across this from time to time, usually when people come in and are having trouble, what I will do is delete the phone from the car, and I'll delete the car from the phone and start over with the whole process and let them pair up again. And usually we have pretty good success with that working and everything coming back to life.
Well, the texter can maybe try that if he or she has not. All right, let's grab a phone call. Let's go back and then we'll get some more text messages. I think Cheryl is calling in from Becker this morning. Cheryl, you are on with Dan. Good morning.
Hi there. I love your guys' show.
Thank you.
I've got a 2005 Ford Ranger, and it's been sitting for a while. I haven't been driving it that much because I got myself a different car. And now I'm starting to flip-flop from car to truck, car to truck. And now since I've been driving my truck again, everything's going great with it, but the air conditioning doesn't work now. Do you guys know anything about that?
Well, yes, we and everyone knows a lot about air conditioning. That's a main part of our business, is servicing air conditioning. And if the vehicle had been sitting for a long time and now it's not working properly, I think probably what happened is the refrigerant gas has leaked out of it. And that could either be a big or small leak. If it's a big leak, it'll need to be repaired. If it's a small leak, then, sometimes they're so small that we can't find them. But refilling them makes them work for several years. And if that's the case, then that's what we would do, is we would service it, refill it back up with refrigerant gas, and, with it for several years that way. So I think if you bring it in, any shop would be able to help you with getting your air conditioner back in business.
Very good. Dan, we have to take a quick bottom of the hour break, and we'll have more show to come. Keep in mind, Dan will take his leave here about 7:45 or so, and we'll come back with phone calls and text messages on our Car Care Show this Saturday morning here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. We'll let you know in a moment how to get in touch with those good folks there. In the meantime, Dan is, as usual, helping listeners out here on CCO by phone and by text. Speaking of which, Dan, let's go to Tom, who's calling in from Rogers, I think. Dan, welcome, Tom, to the show. Tom, thanks for waiting all this time.
Well, thank you very much. I have a F-150. And for the last month, I've been having problems with the check engine light coming on. Now, the mechanic has changed a couple of parts on it, and I had it in there last Wednesday, and now he says that it needs a new CPU. And it has other things that he wants to put in there. And I'm wondering if it just doesn't make more sense to put the CPU in there and see what codes it comes up with, rather than put everything in there.
Well, I think maybe you should try some more help, get some more help on that, because I wouldn't be surprised if the computer has failed and that's the problem. But I would wonder, like, if it needs a bunch of other components too. And every component on the car can be tested, and the computer itself can be tested. And so I think if they're throwing darts, maybe you should get another opinion and see what somebody else says about it, because it shouldn't be that way. Unless it's an intermittent problem, the evidence should be pretty conclusive, and they should be able to point to what exactly is causing your problem. And sometimes one component will cause another component to fail. That certainly happens, but most commonly it's a particular component that's causing your trouble.
Most commonly. Okay. We got a bunch of texts. Here's one. Dana says, I have a 2007 Honda Accord 5-speed with 180,000 miles. In the morning, when I first drive the car, when RPMs get above 2,500, the car depowers, which feels like an engine brake. Now, if I shift before 2,500 RPM, I don't get this engine braking feeling. If I shut the car off and turn it back on, I'm usually good to go and can rev easily to 4,000 RPM without this engine braking. Is this a sensor that's gone bad, or what do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. That's an odd description that I have not heard before. And so my recommendation to you would be, I would probably take that into a professional and have them take it for a ride. And I don't think that an 07 Honda has a rev limiter on it. In other words, it'll keep you from over revving the engine. Some cars do, but I can't think that that does, but it might. And if it does, that certainly could be causing your trouble. But I think I would have a professional take it for a drive and see what they're feeling and see if it actually is the engine that's causing the trouble, or maybe it is something in the transmission or the drivetrain that's causing the trouble, and it's just feeling like the engine is slowing you down.
All right. Here's a Subaru. A texter says the Subaru Outback 2011 slips in shifting from first to second gear. Everything else is good. Disconnected the battery. Runs smooth as silk for 2 weeks. No slipping again in that gear. Any ideas with that intermittent problem?
The transmission has a computer, and we have the capability of interfacing with that computer to see what's going on. So that would be the first thing, is after it starts acting up again, I would bring it in and have somebody do a diagnostic on it and see if there's a sensor or something that's causing your trouble. By disconnecting the battery, what you're doing is resetting everything, of course, and rebooting everything. And apparently it's taken a while before it will get into that fail mode again. But maybe there's some codes stored in there, or at the very least, we can look at all the data and see if all the data is operating correctly or not.
Okay. Another text says this, Dan, my 2014 Impala makes occasional ABS-type growling noise when left turning from a stop at low speed. I thought it could be a bearing, but my shop checked and found nothing. Any thoughts?
Well, they're hard to find. It could be a bearing, or a speed sensor. That's probably what it is. Or on the axle or somewhere on the vehicle, there's a reluctor wheel that is actually the counter for the sensor. And if that reluctor wheel has a crack in it or something, or if the shape of it has changed, that will cause that false ABS activation, which is very annoying. I know that. And we deal with that quite frequently. But if you bring it into the shop, they'll be able to figure out which wheel is causing it, which wheel is reading differently. And then from there, they'll decide if it's a sensor or a reluctor or a bearing or what exactly it is.
Here's a windshield wiper question, Dan. I believe it's a 2013 Impala. Windshield wipers make a terrible squeaking noise. Texter says I changed to different blades a couple of times, expensive ones. Is there any way to adjust the pressure that they apply to the glass, maybe?
No, pretty much not. I guess my advice would be if you've tried a couple different aftermarket wiper blades, then the next thing I would try is get some original equipment ones. Get some wiper blades that were actually designed for the car that the car was built with, and that will oftentimes take care of that. You know, wiper blades, the universal ones are great for most applications, but on some applications, the windshield just has a little bit different shape, and the aftermarket blades aren't happy with, you know, or they just don't mesh up right with the shape of the windshield, and we run across that from time to time. I actually, my vehicle is like that. I've tried to put aftermarket blades on it, and they just don't work as well as the original ones, and so I have chosen to spend the extra money and get the original wipers for my own vehicle.
Interesting. Here's a text that says, will a key fob that has a dead battery make a car not start?
A key fob that has a dead battery, if it's a smart key, yes. If the battery is completely dead, the car will not find the key and the vehicle will not start. Most cars, however, have a fail-safe that if you have a dead key fob, if you hold the key fob right up next to the push button on the car, the push button will find the dead sensor if it's close enough, or the dead key if it's close enough, and it'll, you know, not temporarily, it will start the car that way. So okay. Try that, get a new battery in there, and I would suggest that when replacing the battery on a key fob, that you do a search on the internet and you'll find a YouTube video or a Google search or something like that that will walk you right through it, because every one of those key fobs is different. Putting batteries in them can be pretty tricky. So find out how to do it before you start just prying them open, because if you don't do it just right, you can break the key fob and then you'll be bummed out about that.
We have to run. Just quickly, Texas is the guy with the Honda with 280,000 miles. He said, I had the problem, same problem. Plugs and wires fixed the problem. So thank you for that texter. How do we get in touch with you guys at Lloyd's, Dan, before we say goodbye?
Well, come on over. We're at 982 Grand Avenue, right between Lexington and Victoria on Grand Avenue. You can give us a call as soon as this morning at 651-228-1316, or you can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net.
And I will talk to you soon and see you this coming week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Danny.
All right. Thanks, Dan. Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive.